We're continuing our study in the 30th Psalm. In our last study, we'd gotten through the 9th verse, so we'll be ready to begin at the 10th verse. But let's give a little review as to what this psalm is saying. This is a psalm of the situation in which David had received a great blessing from God. God had delivered him from a time of great trial and stress, a time in which he thought that he was going to die. He was brought to the very edge of the grave. He could look down into the pit, and he could imagine himself being turned to the dust. And he praises God for having saved him from that situation, from having given him deliverance. But before this deliverance came, he begins to describe in the 6th verse what seems to have brought about his difficulties. He said in the 6th verse, "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." So here he had placed his security, he had placed his confidence, he placed his spiritual dependence upon earthly things. He had used his prosperity. He had used his mountain to stand strong and to not be moved with. And he seemed to have neglected God and the dependence upon God in this situation. As we mentioned earlier, it's easy for us to become so entangled with the affairs of this life, to let ourselves be so engrossed in the everyday activities of making a living or fulfilling whatever our needs may happen to be, to the point that we then lose sight of the fact that we're to be building our treasures in heaven, that we're to be placing our dependence upon God, that we're to be spending a sufficient amount of our time in the service of God rather than simply in the accumulating of the physical, temporal goods of this life. And this seemed to have happened to David. David was at a point in which he had placed his confidence in the wrong things. And as a result of this, God did hide his face from David. We can expect God to do the same for us. If we are a follower of God and we reach the point in which we no longer are paying the heed to the things of God that we should, then God's going to hide his face from us. And to hide his face means that he turns to the point that we no longer receive his benefits or his blessings. When this happens, then we can immediately begin to realize that these earthly temporal things, these things that we put our confidence in, these things that we depend upon for our peace and security and happiness, they're going to wither away. They will not give us what we need. And that's what David says. "Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." Immediately, he became very troubled, very disturbed over the fact that God had hidden his face from him. And God did this for a purpose. He did this to make David realize that these temporal possessions, these things that he calls his prosperity, they were not going to be sufficient for him. They were not going to be the things that would give him the true happiness and peace and security that he needed in the long run. Because when God is taken out of the picture, we really have nothing left. And God may have to do this to us. God may have to bring us to our knees. He may have to bring us to the brink of the pit sometime for us to see that really the temporal possessions of this life are in no wise to be used in the place of God. They're not to take the place of our building, our treasure in heaven. They're not to be used in the place of our seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these temporal things are added to us. So that's the situation with David. "Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled." And so it says in verse 8, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." David was a godly person. He was a person that knew about the true and living God. And so he did as every godly person would do in a time of need, in a time of trouble. He turned to God. He cried to God. He made supplication to God. And he presented his petition to God then. This was the place where he needed his help. He realized now that these temporal things were not what he needed for his peace and security and satisfaction. He needed God. So he turns to God and cries, "I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication." Now this cry no doubt carried with it the idea of repentance. Not just a cry for help, but it has to include forgiveness of sins, a cry to blot out those things that might have come between me and thee, O God, to give me a state of pureness, a state of holiness, where then thou can bless me and not have to go against any of the great principles of the divine government. In the 15th Psalm, the question is asked, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And the answer is given, he that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. So, in order to be able to approach God, and to stand in his tabernacle, or abide in his tabernacle, and to dwell in his holy hill, we have to be upright. We have to be walking and working in a righteous way. We have to be speaking the truth. And we then have to have the idea of repentance, turning from sin, turning from whatever has come between us and God as we approach him for mercy. Again, in the 24th Psalm, he asks the question, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So, here is the person. He further says in the 24th Psalm, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So, we point this out to show that we don't just cry to the Lord just to be crying to the Lord. When we are in times of trouble, then we forget about God. We have to reciprocate on our part with the repentance from our sins. We need to be walking a righteous path. We need to be living an upright life. We need to be following the commands of God. And if our failure to do this has been the thing that's caused God to come between us and our prosperity and our peace, to cause God to allow us to be in this state of great trouble, then we need to remove that blot on our lives, get that sin out, and approach him in a forgiving way, and cry to him, and make a supplication unto him. As David makes this cry in this 30th Psalm, he gives this reason. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? And this is simply a way of saying that when I die, when I go into the pit, the dust that I have remaining in this earth cannot carry out any more of the service of God here in this life. I've done what I am going to do, and I'll never be able to do any more once I die. And he's arguing with God, he's reasoning with God, that if I've been profitable, if I have been praising thee, if I have been serving thee, then let me live so I can continue to do this, so I can praise thee, and so I shall can declare thy truth. But if we have been living the type of a life that's been unprofitable to God, we've not been serving him, we've not been praising him, we've not been carrying out his will, then what incentive is there for God to let us live? It'll be no more good to God for us to have dust remaining here than for us to have our life remaining here if we're not serving him now. And the things we do not do in our life now to serve God, we'll never do them after we die. We cannot come back and do the works that we neglected while alive in this life, on this earth. And so that's the point that David seems to be making. So in the 10th verse he says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. So he's asking for God to come to his assistance. And he describes to God what he wants him to do. He says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. So let us take a closer look at what David is asking for here. The first thing he asks for is that the Lord hear him. Hear, O Lord. This is so important for us to be heard. When we're in times of distress, when we have great problems and troubles, we must be heard. You know, many times in this life, it's most beneficial if we can just have another person to hear our troubles, just to listen with a sympathetic ear, and to know that they have at least heard what we've had to say about it. Although they're not in a position to help us, they can't change any of the circumstances, they can't bring us out of the problem that we're in, it still is a great help just to know that we've unloaded this burden upon someone else and they've had the opportunity to hear us. That's important to us. It's a needed thing to have a friend that we can do this with. But there are times in which there may be no friend that we can use in this way. And even if we do have a friend, still they can do nothing about giving us help. But to know that we have a God who can hear us all the time, anytime, if we ever have a need, this God is ever present. He is available, He is sympathetic, and then to cry to this God and to be heard is a blessing of great magnitude. It is a blessing that we cannot describe all of the great benefits that it would give us to have. Hear, O Lord. And then he asked God for these favors, and have mercy upon me. Now, to have mercy means that God withholds the punishment that he should have had. God does not mete out all of the consequences of his sin. Whatever he had done wrong, whatever had come between him and God, God doesn't cause David to suffer all of the things that he should have suffered for having done this. That's God's mercy. God's mercy is that part of his actions in which he does not give us those things that we deserve to have for our misdeeds. Mercy. We all depend upon God's mercy. We must have God's mercy. There are certain sins that we may commit and not even be aware of the fact that we've done them. There are sins of ignorance. There are sins done inadvertently. There are sins that we might have even forgotten about having done. And we have to depend upon God's mercy to give us forgiveness of these sins. And none of us will ever get past the judgment day without God's mercy. So David cries for mercy. Have mercy upon me. Then he says, Lord, be thou my helper. And this word here for my helper really is asking for God to give grace, to give him grace. And grace means that God gives us those things then that we do not deserve. Those blessings, those favors, those things that we need, and those things that sometimes we have which are simply luxuries or pleasures. We do not deserve them. God doesn't owe them to us. But nevertheless, he gives them to us. Grace. Be thou my helper. Give me grace. And here's another great element that man has need of, is grace. The unmerited favor of God. The things that God gives us which we have not earned nor deserved. So we ask for these two elements. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper, or give me grace. And of course, when we get right down to it, this includes everything that we need. To have God's mercy, his forgiveness of our sins, his not holding us accountable for our crimes against him, and then at the same time to have his blessings, to have his grace, to have him to be our helper. This includes all that we need from God, because it includes all that we need to be complete, to be total, to fulfill our every need, to fulfill our every purpose here upon this earth, to live a life that is of the fullest, to live a life that has accomplished all that man is intended to accomplish. And so it's a most appropriate prayer. Hear, have mercy, and be my helper. Give me grace. This is a prayer that we need to take great heed of. This is a prayer that we need to use as a copy, as a pattern for how we approach God. All of us have times of trouble. All of us have times of great need. All of us stand at the brink, as it were, of this pit known as the grave. All of us have feelings of inadequacy, and all of us have allowed ourselves to drift away from God to the point that God has forced us to turn to him because of adversity. And so here's the appropriate prayer. Hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. And if David had need to pray a prayer like this, certainly we today, who are less than David in many respects, have need for the same prayer. In verse 11, he shows that his prayer was heard. God did hear. God did answer. And he says, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So when he was in such a deep state of mourning, he feared for his very life. He was afraid that he was going to die. He was afraid his enemies were going to rejoice over his poor situation. God turned this mourning into dancing. It's just simply a way of saying that God reversed his poor condition. God turned him from mourning to dancing. He further says, thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Sackcloth is the garment worn for mourning. It's the garment worn whenever we are casting ourselves down, when we are in a state of deep humility. It's cloth made only fit for sacks. It's not really intended to be used as a garment. So we are utterly casting ourselves down to wear sackcloth. But he said, you've put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. I now have no reason to be unhappy, no reason to be sad, no reason to have fear, no reason to be insecure. You've girded me with gladness. And this is a figurative term for putting on a different kind of a garment. You've traded my sackcloth for another garment, the garment of gladness. I now have reason to be happy, reason to be glad, to have joy. I have now reason to feel this state of peace and security. I have a new life, a new lease on life. I have a new outlook toward things. I no longer am going to place my confidence in my prosperity. I no longer am going to make my mountain the thing that is going to stand strong for me. I'm going to use God now. I have learned a lesson. I now have an education I didn't have before about evil, about wickedness. And so I'm girded with gladness. In the 12th verse, the last verse of the chapter, he tells what the result and what the purpose of this answering of his prayer by God was for. He says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. God answers our prayers for a reason, and our comfort and our happiness is only a small part of that reason. He doesn't just answer these prayers so that we can have everything so nice for us. There's a purpose behind this. It's so that we then can fulfill our reason for being on this earth. Why are we here? He says it's to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Now, David was to use his energies, use his total being in the service of God. And here's the way he describes this: to the end that my glory. The word here for glory has been translated several ways. Some translate it as my tongue, and some translate it as my heart or my mind. But what it seems to mean is that my highest powers, whatever power I possess, whatever abilities I have, are going to be used to sing praise to thee. I'll do it with my heart, with my mind, sure. My mind's going to be involved in this. I'll do it with my tongue. The tongue is one of the highest powers that we have, our power of communication, our ability to convey thoughts to others, our ability to show others how we feel or think about something. But it's going to be whatever powers I have, I'm going to use these powers to sing praise to thee. And so we need to stop and think, each one of us, about what powers we may have, what abilities we may have. We may have the ability to counsel with others, and in that way, get the message across to God. We may have the ability to write about the great things of God and to be able to transmit our thoughts through writing, through the written material. We may have the ability to publicly teach. We may have the ability to simply give encouragement to those who do have other great abilities. We may be great in the area of being able to sing to God. We may be great in the area of providing for the necessities of other persons, and in this way, sing praise to God. But whatever our abilities are, let us not be silent. Let us use them. This is the reason God has brought us through. This is the reason God has given us the victory. This is the reason God lets us live. This is our reason for drawing the next breath, is to be able to serve God. What a shame. What a waste. To allow our talents to become rusted and corroded with disuse. To not bring forth these works that we're able to do in this life. Remember, we'll never be able to do them once we leave this life. And so that's the reason for God answering the prayer. That's the purpose. That's the end of it. That I may sing praise to thee and not be silent. And it means to use whatever our glory is, whatever our highest powers are. We're going to put our energy, we're going to put our ability into the serving of God. That's what it's all about. That's our purpose here in this life, to serve God. And consequently, if God gives us a deliverance from some great tragedy that's impending upon us, and we just turn around and kind of take it for granted, we just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, well, so what? And we go to using our energies in such a way that we are depriving God of that which is rightfully His. We're heading in the wrong direction. Glory or our powers are not turned toward God, then God is the loser. God has helped us to no avail, for His purpose is that we may sing praise to Him and not be silent. But how many times has God helped us? How many times has God delivered us from the pit? And then we remain silent. Our spiritual sides are silent. There is little or no activity. God does not get His just due from us. So it concludes by saying, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. And what this simply means is, I will not cease to give Thee thanks. I will never reach a time in my life when I'll not be thankful to Thee. Now, we always have something to be thankful for. God is a continual help to us. He's a continual source of blessings for us. And so then we ought to at least return thanks back to Him. The thanksgiving to God is the most important part of our service to Him. It's a sacrifice that we offer to Him, and with such thanksgiving as this, God is well pleased. Certainly we want to render to God what is the thing that God expects, and He expects thanksgiving. David says, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. So we see that this psalm has been a most beneficial study for us. We've learned here how that God can help and how that He does help. How that He brings us from the very brink of despair. We also learned how that we get into these bad situations by putting our trust in the wrong thing, by trusting in prosperity when we shouldn't be trusting in that. And then when God does help us, when God does give us the relief, our purpose is to serve God. Our purpose is to sing praise to Him and not be silent. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.